Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It's good to be here again. Amen.
Amen.
I know the Jehovah Witnesses are out today. Out in full force. So we're here today too. Praise God. We're witnesses too. Amen. Did everybody get one of these effective scripture sheets? Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'll just go to the Lord in prayer and then we'll get in the Word tonight, this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, for your holy written Word. I thank you for the anointing of God. I thank you for illumination, Father, to our spirits. I thank you, Lord, for this ministry that you've put here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Lord. I just thank you that we haven't seen anything yet compared to what you're going to do. We've seen a lot of things so far. Even in 45 minutes, Father God, we just thank you for the 200 precious people that came into the kingdom of God last night. We thank you for at least 800 more today, Lord. Hallelujah. You said all things are possible to him that believeth. And we believe, hallelujah, for 800 precious souls coming in. In Jesus' name, Father, you said if any man speak, let him speak as an oracle of God. If any man minister, let him minister with the ability that God gives. That God, through Jesus Christ, will be glorified in everything that's said and done in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Matthew chapter 9, begin 35, verse 35, said, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. Why? Because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the labors are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth labors into his harvest. You and I are an answer to prayer today.
Amen.
Glory to God. You're answering some people's prayers today. They prayed, Father, send a labor across my son or my daughter's path. And you and I walk up to him and say, hey, can we give you some good news? Amen. I got some good news this morning. Sister Kathy told me that we got a call from Minnesota because I told you last night that we had some people go out in Minneapolis last night too, while we're out in the streets here, and they led over 350 people to Christ last night. There was 25 of them that went out on the streets. Cinco de Mayo, they had a celebration last night. A lot of people are going to celebrate Cinco de Mayo today. Well, we're going to help them celebrate it, huh?
Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. You know, evangelism is really easy. It's not a hard thing to do. And again, that's the lie from the pit of hell, from the devil, that tells people that they're not called to this ministry. Not everybody's called to this ministry. Yes, we are, if we're born again. You're called to be a minister of reconciliation, because that's what the Bible said. It says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So you and I have the ministry of reconciliation today. Amen. Praise the Lord. But most Christians don't know that because most Christians don't go that. They don't go beyond the four walls of the church. They're real comfortable sitting in their pews. I wonder why they call them pews anyway. Hallelujah. Thank God you don't have pews down here. A lot of churches have pews. And people don't get out of the pews. But we get out of the pews to tell them the good news, huh? That Jesus they can choose. And then they won't lose. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. But anyway, this effective scriptures for evangelism, this has really helped me when I first started out witnessing. I shared a little bit about the Romans Road last night. You know, you take people down the Romans Road and one day they'll walk down the streets of gold. Amen. It's the truth. They'll go to heaven someday because you take them down the Romans Road. You get someone knocking at your door, say, hey, they're selling Girl Scout cookies or Boy Scout cookies or whatever. That happens to me. It's happened before. Yeah, we'll buy a couple boxes of cookies and we say, hey, we're going to ask you a question now. Pray with almost everyone that comes to our door. They didn't know that they're going to go out knocking on doors that day. And they got born again, huh? Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, huh? Hallelujah. I'll open up and I'll sup with him and he with me. Praise God. People are opening the doors of their hearts today. Hallelujah. He's the door to heaven, isn't he? There's only one way. Jesus is the way. So I learned these scriptures. I got them in my spirit. I read them over and over and spoke them out. That's how faith comes, too. The more you read it, a lot of people tell me, and again, you're snared by the words of your mouth, according to Proverbs 6, verse 2. A lot of people tell me, Pastor Nick, I can't memorize Scripture like you do. I say, well, we got to quit saying that. Huh? Quit saying that. I can't memorize Scripture like you do. People tell me that all the time. Boy, you got the word memorized. I said, no, I just read it all the time. Have you ever heard a song that you heard 20 years ago on the radio? And it comes back to you, doesn't it? Amen. I used to sing in a rock band when I was a kid. Call us the singing bus boys. I used to be a bus boy at a restaurant. And I used to get up there and my friend and I used to sing, show me a man that's got a good woman. Now show me. Joe Tex, I think, sang the song. That dates me a little bit. But anyway, it just comes back to you. The words come back, see? So the more we read the word, a lot of times when I'm reading the word, I get to the bottom of the page and I know the end of the Scripture. Because I've read it so many times. Brother Hagin said, I don't know how many, 30 years ago, that he read the New Testament over 150 times. Some places more, he said. Amen? I mean, he's got a photographic memory almost. 83 or 84 years old. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter how old you are. The Bible tells us, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We have the mind of Christ today. We have total recall. Proverbs 10:7 says, the memory of the just is blessed. Hallelujah, in the name of the wicked shall rot, it says. Thank God we got a blessed memory. Just keep saying that all the time. My memory is blessed. Praise God, I got the mind of Christ. I read the Word, I understand the Word. Amen. And it comes out of my spirit. Because out of the heart the mouth speaks, the Bible said. So we take them down to Romans Road. Romans 3:10. It says, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. When you meet some people, you say, hey, if your life ended today or 100 years from now, would you go to heaven? They say, yeah, I'd go to heaven. I say, why? I'm a good person. Well, the Bible said there's none righteous, no, not one. Amen? Our righteousness are as filthy rags. But thank God for His righteousness. He made a way where there didn't seem to be a way, didn't He? When Adam and Eve fell, He made a way where there didn't seem to be a way. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I remember one time a man, he was probably in his 70s. I started talking to him, and I started saying the sinner's prayer with him. God in heaven, I know I'm a sinner. He goes, I'm not a sinner. I said, really? I said, the Bible said all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen? And I said, have you ever sinned? I mean, some people, honestly, brothers and sisters, they say no. You meet them on the street. I never did nothing wrong, they said. I said, oh, is that right? So I asked this elderly man in his 70s. I said, do you ever steal anything? He said, well, one time I took a watermelon out of a watermelon patch. I said, well, that's stealing. You know, that's a sin. God loves you. While you're yet sinners, He died for you. But that's a sin, see? None of us are good. We've all made mistakes, I tell them. You tell people they all make mistakes, they'll agree with you. Hallelujah. You got to point them to the cross. You got to show them what Jesus redeemed them from. Amen. Romans 5:8, it says, but God commended His love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, a lot of people want to wait to clean their lives up to come to Jesus. No, come to Jesus and your life will start to clean up.
Right.
I shared my testimony last night how instead of buying a keg of beer after I got saved, I bought a six-pack or whatever. God was working on my heart, see? Hallelujah, that's what happens. I came to Jesus just the way I was, and He loved me just the way I was. I was a sinner. Thank God we're not sinners no more. We've been redeemed. I mean, not that we don't make mistakes, but it doesn't dominate us no more. Like Romans 6:14, it says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. You're not under the law, but under grace. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. I tell people, yeah, I make mistakes, but sin doesn't rule my life anymore. Alcohol doesn't rule my life anymore. Nicotine doesn't rule my life anymore. Since I asked Jesus in my heart like you just did. And I guarantee you, God loves you as much as He does me. And if He can change me, He can change you. And I want to change, don't you? I want to change from glory to glory today. Amen. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That's good, a good scripture to give people when they think they're going to heaven because they're good. You tell them it's a gift. If you read Romans chapter 5, at the latter part of the chapter, the word gift is in there about 5 or 6 times. Amen. The gift of one, it says. The gift of one. Talking about Jesus. By one man's sin, you know, sin entered the Adam's sin. Praise God for the righteousness of God. By one man, it says. It's a gift. 5 times. Read it for yourself in Romans chapter 5. A lot of times someone talk to me about earning salvation. I'll read them Romans 5 or the latter part of it. It's a gift. I told a young man last night, he ended up getting born again when I shared this. I said, if I had a $100 bill right now, and I was going to give it to you, see, it's a gift I have for you, but until you receive that, it's not yours. He received it. He received Jesus. Because I just shared that. See, God will give you things to say out there. You don't have to worry about what you're going to say out there. The Holy Spirit. You just made yourself available today. You know, I have a sermon called The 5 A's of Evangelism. God's given us an assignment. Mark 16, he said, go into all the world, preach the gospel, every creature. Amen. So that's number one. He gave us an assignment. Number two, he's given us his ability, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. 2 Corinthians 3, verses 5, 6, and 7. It's his ability. Amen. He's given us authority. That's the third A. Luke 10, 19, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents, scorpions, above all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That's good to know before you go out there. Amen. So he's given us authority over all devils. You and I have that authority today. Amen. Number 4A, the anointing. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. It says, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Hallelujah. Luke 4:18 says, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, to set at liberty those that are bound up. Amen. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So you and I are anointed. 1 John 2:20, but the anointing which you have received of him lives inside of you. Amen. Thank God for that unction today. So we're anointed. He's given us an assignment. He's given us ability. He's given us authority. He's given us his anointing. Number five, we have to make ourselves available. The availability. Like Isaiah, here I am, Lord. Send me. I remember even before I was saved, I was working construction. Before I went to the postal service, I was working for my dad, who was a construction worker, bricklayer, superintendent. And I remember working downtown Minneapolis in a big skyscraper, big building. It was a bank. And I remember I wasn't even born again. But I remember when I walked over and I looked at all these people down below. I just looked at them. They were just walking like grasshoppers all over the place. I just started weeping. Isn't that amazing? And this thought came to me. Everybody down there is going to die. See, I wasn't born again yet. I didn't know that, yeah, they're going to die physically. Huh? That's what I was thinking of. They're going to die physically. I wasn't even thinking about heaven or hell. But even, see, that was in my heart years, even before I got saved. I just saw that people, you know, this life's a vapor, the Bible said in James 4:14. It does not matter what, you know, it goes so quick. I mean, I tell people I'm a grandfather. They can't believe it. I got 3 grandchildren. My one granddaughter will be 8 years old already. Amen. My oldest daughter's 26. I can't believe it. I remember when I was 20. I remember when I went in the army. When I was 19, life's so fast. It's a vapor. So you meet these young people on the street and they think, hey, man, I'm going to live, you know, forever. But then they turn 50. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I got 4 kids. They're all in their 20s. They're telling me, I can't believe how fast life goes, they say. That's what they're saying to me. And you know, time is speeding up, it seems like. Isn't it? Doesn't that seem like it's just flying by? I mean, here it's May already. I remember with the Y2K, that was 2.5 years ago almost. It just flies by. September 11th, a few months ago already. I mean, it probably doesn't seem like it's been a long time for those people out there, but, you know, praise God. That's why we showed up today. We made ourselves available. God's going to use you and I. But most Christians don't know that. And again today, in Ephesians, if you turn there, please, Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to go out and have a celebration today in Cinco de Mayo. Do we have any people that speak Spanish here today? Hallelujah. Bienvenido. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And it says, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting or maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect or complete man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things. One thing I found out is when people go out beyond the four walls of the church, when they go, they start to grow. Spiritually, I'm talking about. And the more they go, the more they grow, the more they begin to glow. I've had people walk up to me in restaurants and say, man, there's an aura about you. Honestly. It's God, that's all. Isaiah chapter 6, he says, arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord's risen upon you. See, people are drawn to the light. And the more you're in the Word is light, praise God. Amen? And light dispels darkness. That's why we have to get into the Word, see? If I never read the Bible, I wouldn't stand up here and go out in the streets and talk to people, because I wouldn't know what to tell them. But what I know, the benefits, everyone's yes and amen. Amen? That's good news. I mean, it's good news knowing you're going to go to heaven when your life ends, isn't it? But there's a lot more good news to wait until you die, physically. You can be blessed. He said in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but to rob, kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You tell a sick person out there on the street, a couple weeks ago, I shared this last night at the service, a man had a broken hand at a health club. He broke his wrist, and he shared it with me. And I said, I'm a pastor, I'm a believer. The Bible said, these signs follow them that believe. They lay their hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Can I pray for you, sir? Never saw the man before in my life. That's pretty bold, isn't it? But I would never do that if I would have never went out in the streets and talked to people. And he said, yeah, would you? Man, my wrist. And God healed him. And then I said, hey, are you know today if anything? Yeah, I'm born again. He said, I'm Baptist. Hallelujah. He was born again already. But you know, he would have probably let that thing rule him, you know, if he wouldn't have known. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I didn't know about healing until I started reading the Bible. Glory to God. God bless you, Kathy.
Thank you.
Didn't even know about it. But see, God has equipped us, see? That's why we go to church, brothers and sisters. We don't just go to church to get fed and get fat and get lazy and get so caught up in all these things. There's a lot of good things. But we go to church to get fed and get built up so we can take this outside the four walls of the church and tell people about the love of God. Tell them what he's done in our lives. Give them our testimony. Like we share different types of evangelism. This isn't the only way. But I tell you what, if you can do this way, you can do any way. If you can talk to a total stranger one-on-one, some people call this confrontational evangelism. I don't call it that because it gives you a connotation that it's really hard and people are arguing with you and everything. And it's not. They walk up to you, hey, can I get one of those? And they grab tracks out of your hand. That's not confrontational. But some people, that's what they say. The stigma about it.
Yeah.
So they stand up there in front of their church and say, hey, we're going to do confrontational evangelism. Well, when I heard that word the first time, I didn't like it. Hey, man, our pastor used to say that. And I went and told him, Pastor Hammond, I said, it's not confrontational. He never said it again. Mm-hmm. When I told him that, because he had put a fear on people.
Yeah.
If you never hear it, I mean, if you never see how easy it is, and then you hear someone say it, hallelujah, then it, you know, that gives you an excuse not to do it. Oh, I can't do that confrontational evangelism. Hallelujah, it's the truth. Some people tell me I'm not called to do this like you are. Where does it say that in the Bible?
Mm-hmm.
You know, today I was going to share about the different gifts because, you know, I took two pastors out with me last night. See, there's different offices in the body of Christ. I'm an evangelist. Pastor Mark and his wife are pastors. That's their high call, probably. I don't know them that well, really. But I mean, they're pastoring a church, so I believe that's the highest call in their life, the highest anointing that they're walking in today. But see, when I go out on the streets as an evangelist wants to make people, he wants to make sure they're going to heaven, where a pastor wants to feed these people. I've taken pastors out, Mark and Brenda Thomas out in California. I've taken Tim Gilligan, if you don't know anything about AFCM, if you're affiliated with them or what, Jim Caseman Ministries. I've taken Tim Gilligan, he's a pastor in Ocala, Florida. He went with me. And see, they have a pastor's heart, so as soon as I lead someone to Christ, they say, let's go. They want to stay there and talk to him for 20 minutes. But when you say, even before we go, there might have some people here, you go to Bible school, you're called to a pastorate. That's the office God's called you to. Well, when you come here, brother, we're going to do, and sister, we're going to do the work of an evangelist. Amen? It's not that we don't care about people. We care about them. We want to make sure they get saved. And we have books we're going to hand out today and everything. We got 400 of these books. Spanish books. Brother Copeland's. Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. It's in Spanish, so we can give them something, see? This is more follow-up than I ever had when I got born again. Amen. Give them a book. Tell them to read the Bible. Pray. Find a good church. A lot of good churches in Tulsa, I hear. Hallelujah. So today we're going to do the work of an evangelist. So if you have a pastor's, you're called to the pastorate, just bear with us today because you're going to see people. I brought a group of like 15, 16 people from Minnesota with me. Praise the Lord for them. Can you imagine taking vacation to go win souls? You know, a lot of Christians, they take vacations to go to hear Brother Copeland for a week, Brother Hagen, camp meeting. That's wonderful. I've done it myself. But how about taking a vacation to go win souls? Isn't that amazing? Paying for airfare and hotels and rental cars and gasoline and buying their own food and to bless someone else. And see, you can't outgive God. When you start doing that, pretty soon someone will walk up to you. Where's Paul? Is he here? Brother Nierman, we were out, and I tell you, a lot of times you speak prophetically, you don't even know it. Paul went with me to Canada, it must have been, I don't know, 10 years ago, close to 10, between 8 and 10 years ago. We went across the Minnesota border into Canada, and Paul went with us. And just, I don't know, a couple months ago or whatever, we're all praying in a circle after we got back, and I looked at Paul, I said, Paul, I sure wish you could come on another missions trip with us. Because he went, we had a good time, I remember that in Canada. By the time we're done, someone walks up to me and writes a check for $410 and said, or no, they said, wherever he wants to go, I want to pay for it. To God be the glory for it. Because he got blessed, because he's faithful. God blesses faithfulness. There's many of us. Diana, where's Diana? Diana, someone walked up to her and gave her $3,000 to go to Israel a couple years ago. Amen. You weren't even praying about going there, were you? Paid in full, they said. You start doing the work of an evangelist. That's what happens. People bless you. Where's Falou? He's out in the corridor. Come here, Falou. Come on. This brother's income's doubled. How many months have you been coming out on the streets with us, brother?
10 months.
10 months. His income has doubled in 10 months since he started doing the work of an evangelist. The Bible says you're blessed going in a city and you're blessed coming back. Thank you, Mr. Falou. Praise God. God just starts blessing people. Amen? The blessings are overtaking us. And when you bless other people, you reap what you sow. You think you're not blessing some people today when you show up here and go out there? I don't know about you. I know you have another meeting at 7 o'clock tonight. I guess I'm going to be speaking. But we're going to go out and win souls today. That's why we showed up today. The hardest thing, you defeated the devil when you got in your car and you drove over here today. Because that's the hardest thing about this ministry. Amen. When you see, brothers and sisters, how hungry people are. That's right. They're hungry. Yeah. They don't go to church, so the church has got to go to the people. Maybe in this city there's more people that go to church, but I've even heard that a lot of Christians don't go to church. Half the born-again Christians don't go to church. Are they above it all that they don't have to go to church no more? Man, I want to go to church. Amen. See, religion says you have to. Christianity says I want to. Amen. I thought we're supposed to get excited about the things of God. But I know the most people in my church that are excited, and I'm prejudiced, but I believe the most on fire people in the church are the evangelism people.
Amen.
They all agree, they said. They sit in the front rows of the church. Hallelujah. They're there every time the door opens almost for the church. They don't miss hardly any services. Hallelujah. Amen. We go back. We leave tomorrow. Monday night we got an outreach. Tuesday night we got an outreach. I won't be there on Monday because it's my twin boy's 25th birthday. So I have someone else doing my class for me. But if I didn't have that birthday party on Monday, I would be there Monday night. And I know these people will be there. Hallelujah. And if you're not going to be there, no condemnation to you. I don't want to put pressure on any of them. But I'm just talking about, it just does something to your heart. I'm sure glad someone told me about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Even though I laughed at them, I mocked people, they laugh, you know, I shared last night. A guy told me he quit drinking at Fort Ord, California. He said, hey, man, I'm really happy for you. You know, fifth of Southern Comfort in my hand. I'm really glad that Jesus helped you. But when I got born again, the Holy Spirit said, Nick, you remember that cook out at Fort Ord, California? Remember the guy that worked in the weapons room and gave you the M16? He gave you his testimony, told you how he used to be on LSD and everything, how God changed him. You remember him, Nick? You remember that person that put that tract underneath your door when you were living in an apartment in New Brighton? You remember that Baptist pastor that your sister invited you to come over and he witnessed you? You remember that guy that fell off a cliff 100 feet and didn't get hurt? Gave you his testimony about cheating on his wife and everything and how she was born again, knocked her teeth out before he left to run away? He fell off a cliff, got born again, came back, knocked on the door, and she opened the door to him. Most Christians say, no way, get out of here. She received him back. They had like 8 kids. She didn't want to divorce them. There's more divorce in the body of Christ today than there's in the world. So sad. Can't work it out. Man, I'm glad he worked it out with us. Boy, I'm sure glad he forgives us. Huh? Hallelujah! There's a lot of people hurting out there today. Maybe some of you are hurting here today. You know, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. That's why I do this ministry too. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. It said, Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all of our tribulation or trouble or trials, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. That is good, isn't it? So if you're hurting today, and I believe in my spirit that there is someone hurting in here today, you go out there and you're giving your time, and God will send someone across your path that's hurting worse than you, and you'll look back and say, boy, I thought I had it bad. Or you might find someone that's going exactly through the same thing you are today. And you can look right at them in the face and say, sister, brother, I know exactly what you're going through because I'm going through it today. Amen. And God will use you and you get so blessed just to help somebody else. Amen. This ministry takes your eyes off yourself. It really does. Jesus said, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. Hallelujah. Follow me, he said, and I will make you fishers of men. Matthew 4:19. It's the word of God. It says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Whoever calls upon me will be saved or shall be saved. Hallelujah. How will they call on him in whom they've not believed? Amen. Romans 10:14. How can they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach except to be sent? How beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. We don't hit people over the head with the Bible today. We don't point our finger at them, get right in their face. You're going to hell. You know that smoking dope's a sin, don't you? No, you don't have to tell them that. They know it. I've had people I walk up and, you know, I just walk up to them. Hey, how you doing? I'm okay. Convicted. Just by the love of God. And then I'd say, hey, have a great day. Jesus loves you. Thanks a lot. I'm glad somebody does. 20 minutes later, run into another group. Hey, can we give you some good news? Well, I talked to your friend on the road. Hey, I want to tell you that Jesus loves you. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Amen. One plants, one waters, God gives the increase. The Bible said that we labor not in vain in the Lord. Isn't that good to know before you go? Yeah. Isaiah chapter 55. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Isaiah 55. Verse 10. It says, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void or without fruit, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Isn't that good to know? Yeah, without fruit, it says. See, because the word of God is alive. When you speak this word, like Jesus spoke to the devil, it is written. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This is our life right here, the bread of life. After we lead someone to Jesus Christ, we say, just like when you were born the first time, your mom and dad, they gave you milk. They didn't give you a T-bone steak. Don't read Genesis. Turn to the Gospels. See, See, that's simple. You laugh about it, but it's the truth. I mean, I know some people, they say the sinner's prayer and they're reading Leviticus. All the genealogies. And it takes them, you know, they get frustrated. No, read the Gospels. Read the epistles. Amen? Yeah. Encourage them to read that. Yeah, and after a while, I told them last night, I met someone, yeah, just, you know, like when you're born the first time, your mom and dad gave you milk. Then they gave you like mashed potatoes or applesauce. Applesauce, huh? I remember feeding my kids applesauce. Amen. And maybe a hot dog, you know, as they start to grow a little bit. And then you can give them a hamburger, and then pretty soon you can give them a roast or a T-bone steak or something. It's a progressive thing. And that's what Christianity is. I'm still growing today. And I'm going to keep going today. Because I want to keep growing. A lot of Christians are stagnant. They think they know everything. They think they know more than you. I meet people, they come up to me all the time. People at our church, people at other churches. Oh, I used to do this, what you're doing. Well, why aren't you doing it now? Well, you got to. Oh, really? I had a guy after him this one time. He said, all these people that sing, they're praying with thousands of people and stuff. He said, that's bogus. And I'm sitting there, and I think Mike was with me. Were you with me at that meeting?
Yeah.
Because we do this all the time. We know God is touching hearts.
Amen.
And lives.
Hallelujah.
And no religious devil's going to say we're not having an effect out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. And he said, I used to do that one time. I prayed with 100 people, he said. And I went up to him afterwards. And I said, hey, I just want to tell you something. In fact, I think I did jump over the table a little bit. But you know something? A couple months later, he came up to me and he kind of apologized to me. And he said he really had respected what we did. But isn't that amazing? The devil stopped him from winning souls.
Yes.
Stopped him. I prayed with 100 people, he said. And now he quit winning them. Because the devil lied to him and said, oh, those people didn't mean that prayer when they said that prayer. They just said that prayer to get you out of their hair. So I ask people, and I say the sinner's prayer with them. Did you mean that, sir? They said, yes, I did. Do I know their heart? No, God does, though. Do I walk by faith or by sight? My ex-brother-in-law, I prayed with him. He got born again. It was like Christmas Eve one year. I led him to Christ. And every time I saw him, I told this to Pastor Mark and Janet yesterday. I called him brother. Call things that be not as though they were. I knew he was born again because he said, ask Jesus Christ in his heart. He prayed with me to ask Jesus in his heart. And I didn't see any fruit. And some people come up to me, oh, do you think Larry really meant that prayer when he said it with you? I said, yeah, I know he did. It's the incorruptible seed that lives and abides forever. I don't care. I walk by faith, not by sight.
Amen.
Now Larry's an evangelist like me.
Praise God.
But see, other people judged it. We got to judge our own hearts. Don't worry about other people.
Yeah.
A lot of Christians worry about other people all the time. Amen.